In fairness to all parties, the Marine Corps corrects the historical record by Colonel Kyle R. Gentry, United States Marine Corps, retired. Editor's note: the following is a condensed version of Chapter 13, In Fairness to All Parties, from the Marine Corps History Division's Investigating EWO, the Flag Raising in Myth, Memory, and Esprit de Corps. The book, with the full version of the article, can be ordered for free or read online. New claims about the second flag raising. In the spring and summer of 2016, as the Yulee panel formulated its conclusions on the identity of the Marines and sailors who raised the two flags on Iwo Jima, there was robust discussion around the possibility of future changes to the identities, pending new evidence and advances in photographic analysis. The possibility became more and more likely on July 17, 2018, when amateur historian Dustin Spence sent a presentation of historical photographs in support of four new claims about the flag raisings on Iwo Jima to retired Major General Orlo K. Steele. The images offered compelling evidence that potentially overturned the Yulee panel's results. Two significant assertions by Spence and his fellow researchers, Stephen Foley and Brent Westemeyer, were that Corporal Harold P. Keller is the Marine pictured in the position long associated with Private First Class Gagnon, and that Private First Class Gagnon is the Marine in the foreground of Private Robert R. Campbell's photograph capturing the lowering of the first flag. If confirmed, Gagnon's presence in the photo would prove that he could not have raised the second flag, as the first flag was lowered as the second flag went up. Two photographs taken by Private Robert R. Campbell formed the centerpiece of the argument that PFC Gagnon was not one of the flag raisers. Private Campbell was the only photographer on Mount Suribachi to capture the lowering of the first flag and the raising of the second flag in a single frame. Another Campbell photograph shows First Lieutenant Harold G. Schreier and Platoon Sergeant Ernest I. Thomas, Jr. saluting the second flag after the Marines raised it to the vertical position. Like the photograph of the flag being lowered, this image provides a frontal view of the Marine on the far side of the flagpole. Because the face in both images is cast in shadow, these photographs appeared to lack discernible detail to prove or disprove the attribution of PFC Gagnon. Enlarged details of both photographs submitted by the researchers purported to show a clear view of the face, uniform, and weapon of the Marine in position number 2. Arguing that the individual closely resembles Corporal Harold P. Keller, the brief further theorized that the slender Marine, positioned at the top of the first flagpole, nearest to the viewer in Campbell's photograph of both flags, is Gagnon. The brief included several images from private collections and from the George Burns Collection at the U.S. Army Heritage and Education Center. In support of Corporal Keller's identification, a photograph taken between the flag raisings by Army PFC George Burns, a combat cameraman working for Yank magazine, shows Corporal Keller shaking hands with Sergeant Howard M. Snyder at the edge of the crater. Burns' caption list for the film roll annotates the photograph with identifications of both Marines and explains that the pair were among the first to reach the summit. This photograph was supplemented with several personal snapshots of Keller during and after his military service. Recognizing the potential impact this evidence would have on the findings of the Yulee panel, Major General Steele forwarded the email to Lieutenant General Jan Yulee, who had overseen the previous investigation. On August 9, 2018, Lieutenant General Yulee shared the file with Brigadier General William J. Bowers, Commanding General of Education Command and the President of the Marine Corps University. Upon review, Brigadier General Bowers directed a research effort to evaluate, corroborate, and determine the authenticity of the evidence presented, followed by recommendations for further actions based on this assessment. Verifying the evidence. The initial appraisal of photographs fell to Dr. Brienne Robertson, a member of the Yulee panel and a historian at the Marine Corps History Division. She painstakingly reviewed the images included in Spence's presentation and then developed a parallel version using high-resolution scans, as available, from the National Archives in College Park, Maryland, and the U.S. Army Heritage and Education Center at Carlisle Barracks, Pennsylvania. Robertson also liaised with the Associated Press to obtain high-resolution digital images of files of Rosenthal's photographs. Working in the still picture research room at the National Archives, Robertson viewed the photographs that Coast Guard photographer's mate 3rd Class John Papson took, as well as the myriad images Marine Corps combat cameramen took of the event, including photographs from the summit of Mount Suribachi in subsequent days. Robertson also searched for images depicting PFC Gagnon elsewhere on the island, which would provide insight into the peculiarities of his uniform and equipment and would offer a point of comparison. Corporal Keller's daughter, Kay Keller Moore, was contacted and verified that she had several scrapbooks containing photographs along with other memorabilia related to her father's military service. She said her father never claimed to be a flag raiser to her or any of her siblings, and mentioned that her father recorded memories of his time on Iwo Jima for fellow Marine and author Richard Wheeler, who had served with Keller in Company E, 2nd Battalion, 28th Marine Regiment. In their own words, Corporal Richard Wheeler became the de facto historian for his platoon after the war. In addition to numerous articles on the battle and the flag raisings, he published two books on the subject, Iwo in 1980 and The Bloody Battle for Suribachi, originally published in 1965 and updated in 2007. His research files included audio cassette tapes, interview transcripts, and letters from the men who fought with him on Iwo Jima. Unfortunately, his narrative began after his platoon had left its position on Mount Suribachi. A visit to the home of Corporal Keller's daughter in Clarence, Iowa, was arranged, and she graciously permitted access to her father's memorabilia, which included a 1977 newsletter article from Surge Company, where Keller worked, which provided a cryptic but potentially meaningful clue. It stated, "Harold rarely talks about his service days in World War II and practically never mentions Iwo Jima, where he happened to be one of the group of Marines who raised the American flag on Mount Suribachi." The article goes on to say, "At 12:15, a Joe Rosenthal of the Associated Press came by for a picture. The photographer climbed up upon a cairn of rocks as Harold Keller and his comrades lunged forward and drove the flag home." Based on the clear identification of Harold Keller and his comrades as having their hands on the flagpole in this article, Keller must have told someone that he had a hand in raising the flag. Unfortunately, no further reference to the flag raising was found in Keller's personal correspondence. PFC Gagnon's son, Rene Gagnon Jr., was contacted on October 9, 2018, to determine if he or other members of his family had any material that would confirm their father's place in the Rosenthal photograph. Because the unidentified Marine in the foreground of Campbell's image is also pictured smoking a cigarette and wearing a K-bar fighting knife in another photograph, Gagnon was asked if these aspects were consistent with what he knew about his father's wartime experiences. Gagnon confirmed that his father was a smoker and that he carried a K-bar on Iwo Jima. He also stated that he had seen a battlefield photograph of an individual whom he identified as his father. Two crop details of Campbell's photograph were emailed for his review, along with the message. Attached are two versions of the photo with the Marine smoking. Is the smoking Marine PFC Rene Gagnon? He responded, "Neither of these two photos is of Rene Gagnon. The one I have is with the flag still being tied to the pole prior to raising." Despite this initial exchange, Gagnon's son declined to assist further with the investigation. Of note, the only photographs showing the American flag being tied to a length of pipe were taken hours before Gagnon arrived at the summit. Expanding the search. In addition to verifying independently the photographic evidence, we conducted a thorough review of secondary sources and reached out to museums and historical societies to request their assistance in locating previously overlooked artifacts and documents related to our search. Robertson engaged Dr. Parker Bishop Albee, Jr., Professor Emeritus at the University of Southern Maine in Portland, and obtained nearly a dozen audio cassette tapes and transcripts of oral history interviews that he and co-author Keller Cushing Freeman had done in the early 1990s for their book Shadows of Suribachi, which included interviews with and letters from, among others, First Sergeant John A. Daskalakis of Company E, and former adjutant for 2nd Battalion 28th Marines, 2nd Lieutenant G. Greeley Wells. In his interview, Greeley Wells talked about Daskalakis' efforts to identify the flag raisers in Rosenthal's photograph and that the Marines were reluctant to come forward. At one point, Wells described Daskalakis' frustration with the identification process and later his realization that, "This knucklehead, hell, he was there, he just didn't say anything." In response, Freeman suggests that the reticent Marine was PFC Ira Hayes, to which Wells responds, "Well, it might have been Ira, but there was also another guy." He does not name the other Marine in the interview, but he goes on to say that the person did not want publicity for the flag raising. Partnering with the FBI. Next, the Marine Corps requested the Federal Bureau of Investigation conduct a professional evaluation of the photos, focus on the proposed identifications, and new image comparisons. A subsequent request asked the FBI to analyze all six positions. The FBI was sent high-resolution digital image files of both complete photographs and crop details showing individuals of interest to the investigation, including Corporal Keller, PSC Gagnon, and other Marines as a baseline for physiogenomic analysis, determining the characteristics of facial features, as well as a reference glossary of uniform items and weapons to assist the scientists. The FBI used a combination of facial recognition software and manual comparisons. Analysts painstakingly traced the movements of individuals in the Ganast film to establish their positions in the still photographs. By comparing fluctuating elements, such as the American flag flapping in the breeze, the FBI was able to establish the precise timing of the still photographs in relation to the motion picture footage. Images were processed to improve the visibility of facial features, as well as details of clothing, footwear, gear, and weapons. Camouflage patterns of uniforms were key in identifying individuals. Although camouflage patterns repeat themselves in bolts of material, once they are sewn in clothing and helmet covers, the camouflage pattern location and fabric creases become as distinct as a fingerprint. The relatively small set of potential candidates, the number of individuals on the summit of Mount Suribachi was estimated at 100, aided the analysis. The FBI confirmed that the Marine in position number 1, Corporal Block, is also the Marine pictured behind Sergeant Hansen in the image known as the Gung-Ho photograph. The conclusion was based on the match between the camouflage pattern and creases in the helmet cover in Burns' versions of the Gung-Ho photograph and those of Block in Rosenthal's photograph of the razors stabilizing the second flagpole. For position number 2, the FBI compared facial, helmet, clothing, gear, and weapon characteristics in Campbell's photographs, Burns' photographs, Rosenthal's Gung-Ho photograph, and personal photographs. Facial similarities combined with the creases formed by the double bandoliers in Corporal Keller's utility coat in combination with the distinctive folds and camouflage pattern of his M1 helmet cover formed individual characteristics that permitted his positive identification as a second flag raiser in Campbell's photographs. For position number 3, the FBI was able to confirm the identity of PFC Southley based on the camouflage pattern on his helmet cover, the positioning of his soft cap under his helmet, creases in his clothing, and his equipment, especially the telephone lineman's pouch hooked to his utility belt. These characteristics are clearly visible in the Gung-Ho photograph and in Rosenthal's flag-raising and flagpole steadying photographs where he was previously identified. For position number 4, the FBI was not able to make a definitive identification. The primary challenge is that the Marine is mostly obscured in both flag-raising and flagpole steadying photographs. Although more of the individual's face is visible in the Ganast film, the low resolution does not allow for a positive identification. The FBI determined limited support for the proposition that the serviceman is Sergeant Strank based on the distinctive manner in which he wears his utility coat over his field jacket, a uniform configuration also visible in Rosenthal's flagpole steadying image and the multiple Gung-Ho photographs, and the pronounced curvature of the bill of his soft cap. The FBI was able to determine strong support that Private First Class Schultz is the individual in position number 5. This conclusion was based on the camouflage pattern on his helmet cover and the broken helmet liner strap that dangles on the left side. These characteristics are clearly visible in the Gung-Ho photograph, where he was positively identified as the Marine kneeling next to Corporal Keller, and in both Rosenthal's iconic photograph and Ganast's film. The FBI positively identified PFC Hayes as the individual in position number 6. Their conclusion was based on multiple similarities in the camouflage pattern on his helmet cover, as well as the difference in his weapon, an M1 carbine, as opposed to the more prevalent M1 Garand rifle carried by most other Marines on the summit. Furthermore, as one of the few Native Americans on Mount Suribachi that day, Hayes was distinguishable in still photographs and motion picture footage for his skin tone. The final claim requiring formal examination was the identity of the individual in the foreground of Campbell's flag-lowering photograph. If Gagnon, then he could not have been in Rosenthal's flag-raising photograph, which was taken simultaneously. Unfortunately, the Marine Corps' research team was unable to furnish the FBI with any archival or personal photographs wherein Gagnon is identified either atop Mount Suribachi or elsewhere on Iwo Jima. The FBI evaluation was narrowed to later images of Gagnon back in the States. The FBI did determine that the slender Marine in Campbell's flag-lowering photograph is the same person seen smoking a cigarette in Campbell's photograph of the first flag. Although the scientists noted some facial similarities between the Marine and Campbell's photographs and later images of Gagnon, they could not clearly discern whether a mole was present on the individual's right cheek, a distinguishing characteristic of Gagnon's face. As a result, the FBI could neither confirm nor deny that the individual in question is Private First Class Gagnon. The Bowers Board deliberations. On February 4, 2019, the Marine Corps convened a panel to review the new claims regarding the identity of the second flag raisers atop Mount Suribachi, Iwo Jima. The board was composed of Brigadier General William J. Bowers, Commanding General, Education Command, Colonel Robert C. Fulford, Director, Expeditionary Warfare School, Colonel Kyle R. Gentry, United States Marine Corps Retired, Education Command, Sergeant Major William J. Grigsby, Sergeant Major, Training and Education Command, Sergeant Major Douglas S. Cutsail, Sergeant Major, Education Command, Master Sergeant Stacy M. Patsman, Retired, Education Command, and Dr. Breanne Robertson, Marine Corps History Division. Armed with the FBI's findings, the Bowers Board was tasked with determining the identification of the Iwo Jima flag raisers with as much certainty as possible. The board agreed with the Yulee panels and the FBI's findings for Position Number 1, Corporal Harlan Block, Position Number 3, PSC Franklin Southley, Position Number 5, PFC Harold Schultz, and Position Number 6, PFC Ira Hayes. The board also agreed with the Yulee panel's determination that Sergeant Michael Strank was in Position Number 4 due to the atypical way he was wearing his utility coat over his field jacket, the watch on his wrist, the absence of a ring on his left hand, and the discoloration of his trousers. The board's most significant finding was in concurring with the FBI's determination that it was Corporal Keller, not PFC Gagnon, in Position Number 2. In replacing Gagnon with Keller, the Bowers Board took into account the evidence that strongly supported Gagnon's presence at the head of the first flagpole as it was being lowered, although the lack of a contemporaneous photograph of Gagnon in combat utilities hampers a positive identification. The additional evidence of the Marine at the head of the flagpole wearing a K-bar fighting knife, Gagnon was known to wear one, and equipment in keeping with that worn by a battalion runner, coupled with Gagnon's absence in the gung-ho photograph, were influential in the board's determination, as was the Marine's striking resemblance to Gagnon. In addition, a mole on Gagnon's right cheek, apparent in other photos, is in the exact position near the Marine's cheekbone and nose in Campbell's photographs. For these reasons, the Bowers Board determined, limited to strong support, that the flag-lowering subject in Campbell's photograph is PFC Rene Gagnon, which precluded his being the Marine in Position Number 2 of the second flag raising. In June 2019, the Bowers Board briefed its findings to senior Marine Corps leadership. Striving for the utmost historical accuracy and thoroughness in his investigation, Headquarters Marine Corps directed an external review of the panel's conclusions. John Hoffman, Chief Historian at the U.S. Army Center of Military History, performed a meticulous peer review, and on July 12, 2019, the Center of Military History validated the findings of the board.